I will not impose cuts that would destroy our health service. The message from our health minister, Edwin Poots. He has warned patient safety would be compromised by the cuts proposed and said he is not prepared to do it. The DUP MLA said his department faced a £140 million shortfall, and he blamed Sinn Féin for not agreeing a welfare reform deal. He spoke frankly about a looming crisis.
I think that there is a crisis here in that if we proceed with these cuts, the impacts will be hugely detrimental to the health services that we carry out, and therefore the population that require it will be hurt as a result of it. If we don't do something on the finance of it, that's that consequence. If we do something, then that will have an impact for every other department. So whilst we continue on the route of doing nothing in welfare reform and having to find those savings, the impact is going to be felt right across Northern Ireland government. But I'm saying it's particularly felt in the health service.
Well, the health minister also warned of a threat to some crucial services. Look, I know I'm pushing you in the word safety, and I know it's an emotive word, but if people are unsafe, it's also your responsibility to point it out. At what point will that service not be safe, in your view?
Well, what I would say is that if we don't have the 24/7 cath labs, those save people's lives. So the Belfast one is up and running. The Lotnagelvin one, because it isn't up and running, the money doesn't exist now for it. So the people in the west of the province, who will be served by Lotnagelvin, will not have as good a service as the rest of Northern Ireland, and their safety is compromised. In terms of cancer services, we're looking at a reduction in the opportunities to bring clinical specialist nurses in. We're looking at a reduction in identifying people as early as we should. All of those things will impact upon people's health negatively, with the potential of people dying as a result. So, yes, people's safety will be impacted as a result of these reductions in services.
Now, I tell you right now that if there was a health minister saying that in England, the news agenda would very, very much nearly grind to a halt. You know, people suffering as consequences, people's safety potentially compromised, the chief medical officer having profound concerns at the serious consequences for the wider health of the population. You know, this is big, big stuff. And don't mistake this for a political story that, you know, is a squabble between DUP and Sinn Féin and may not affect you. You know, this could affect you big time if you want access to your health services. And we need to find out what these people in Stormont are going to do to sort this. So we brought the DUP MP and former Finance Minister, Sammy Wilson, onto the programme this morning. Morning to you, Sammy.
Morning.
Good morning. And the Sinn Féin MLA and Chair of the Finance Committee, Dathi Mackay. Good morning to you, Dathi.
Morning, Stephen.
You know, you can blame the DUP all you want, and you can go into all of this stuff about welfare reform all you want. But the bottom line is that we have the chief medical officer, a man who's at arm's length from government, talking about serious consequences for the quality of health and social care services if these budget cuts went through. Now, you have got to be concerned about that, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, Stephen, first of all, I mean, the pressures that the health department are facing are in no doubt a result of the billions of pounds in cuts that were already enforced on the local executive by the British government over the past 4 years. And as we said at the time, these would continue to hit home and put further pressure on the executive up until this point. But what we're seeing now is not only a reflection that the health minister is under pressure, but it is also a reflection of some of the tensions between some of the DUP ministers, because obviously...
No, here you go. We're under pressure. You're under pressure. Your family's under pressure. You know, the families in this country surely are under pressure. That's the whole point here. You can get into all the political squabbles, and no doubt, you know, both you and Sammy will do it. But I'm talking to you today as a man that's supposed to be representing people in this country who may be sick and their children may need health services. Now, what are you and your party leader going to do about it to make sure that there are not grave consequences for us?
Well, what we have done is ensured that health and education were ring-fenced in terms of this financial year, and we will continue to push for that position to be held by the executive.
The health minister's 140 million short.
And the health minister will continue to make bids for funding, and with the October modern round, around the corner. I am sure that what the health minister is doing to a certain extent is following the example of David Ford and Danny Kennedy and getting his bids in early.
So he's bluffing, is he?
Well, there's certainly an element of that, but also in terms of his own party politics. Obviously, the finance minister gave the health minister a resounding slap down in the gin modern round for his mismanagement of funding. He overspent $13.1 million last year in terms of resource, but he also failed to spend £10.2 million in terms of capital funding. So it is important that the health minister doesn't pass the buck entirely. Yes, we recognise there's pressures on the health service, but it does need to get a hold of his budget.
Sammy?
Well, I mean, the kind of ostrich economics that Daithí Mackay engages in never fails to surprise me. The fact of the matter is that, first of all, Edwin has actually done a very good job in managing the health budget up to now. Despite the reductions that we found right across the budget over the last three years, because of the reforms that he's introduced, he has brought down the number of people who are waiting for outpatient appointments by a quarter. He has employed more nurses. He has increased hospital appointments by 17%.
And he's now talking about serious cuts in cancer services.
And in
heart attack treatment.
What I'm saying is, first of all, Steve, that Danny Mackay talks about this is all a result of the cuts which were imposed on us 4 years ago. I'm pointing out that, because we always emphasise the gloom and doom part, I'm pointing out that as a result of some of the reforms, which the difficult reforms and reforms which were opposed, and sometimes you allowed your programme to be the platform for the people who were opposed to the reforms, as a result of those reforms, he has got more doctors, more nurses, brought waiting lists.
Let's talk about now, Sammy. What's ahead of us?
No, but I'm saying that there has been an improvement in the health service over the last 3 years. And let's put it in that context, first of all. But what has happened is that normally there would have been an expectation that in monitoring rounds, certain amounts of money would become available. And that was always the understanding, to deal with some of the kind of issues that Edwin has talked about. As a result of the fact that we're paying money back to Westminster because we haven't implemented welfare reform, the monitoring round situation is much tougher now. Money which would normally have been released for the kinds of services which Edwin's talking about is not going to be released because it is going to go back to Westminster. And, you know, Danny Mackay can talk about, oh, he can make bids in the October monitoring round. The October monitoring round is, and the February monitoring round is almost going to be totally absorbed by the money which we have to pay back to Westminster because Sinn Féin allows, in Northern Ireland, is allowing itself to be dictated by Sinn Féin in Dublin, who don't want the Northern Ireland branch of Sinn Féin to be involved in any austerity measures because they want to be able to say Sinn Féin is not the party of austerity, and if you vote for us in the Republic, then you'll get Santa Claus coming every day, which of course is just fantasy economics. And that's where the problem has come, because normally, and there still would have been pressures on this budget, but normally some of those pressures would be released because money would have been available from departments which had been underspent and would have been allocated to the health service. And over the last number of years, I think it's been roughly about £40 million per year.
You know, one of the
been available from those monitoring.
One of the questions
helped relieve the pressure.
One of the questions, Sammy Wilson, that people would have been asking after yesterday's programme with the health minister: is he bluffing? Is this a poker game? Is he upping the ante in order to try to get as much money into his department for people in this country as possible? You know, when he's talking about serious cuts to cancer services, serious cuts to heart attack treatment, waiting lists, safety, hospice care, you know, are any of you up there that purport to represent ordinary people here seriously going to do that?
Well, I would hope that he's not bluffing in this, because I think that the issues are far, far too important, and especially given the concern which it would cause me. I get people coming to my advice centre every day, Stephen, who are at the end of their tether because of the health problems which they suffer or their families suffer. They're worried about the future. They're worried about the treatment that they can get. So, I mean, I would hope, and I don't think it is a cynical ploy to simply get more money. What it is, and I mean, some of these things will have to be met, will have to be managed anyway. And unfortunately, if you don't have resources, there are certain things you're not going to be able to do. And it is right that a minister should spell out the things which they can't do, rather than suddenly the problem emerges. But I think that he is under genuine pressure. We have known, of course, that because of rising demand, etc., and in fact also because of the opposition to some of the reforms which there have been, that there was going to be pressure on the health budget. And, you know, people can't have it all ways.
But this is the same pressure, Sammy Wilson. This is the same... Hold on a second. This is the... This is the same pressure that Michael McGimsey was under when he was health minister, and you rubbished him. You battered him. Your party did.
You battered him in
2011. Well, and you all said he was talking rubbish. He needed to live within his budget. Yes, your party did. You battered him.
Stephen, well, let me remind you what the situation was when I had introduced the budget 4 years ago. I was told that within 2 months of the budget being introduced, that the health service would grind to a halt. And one of the reasons why I wanted to explain the context at the very start, because I knew you were going to come on to this issue anyway, one of the things which has happened since then is that for 3 years, the last 3 years, Edwin Poots introduced some of the difficult reforms that had to be introduced to make savings so he could improve the frontline services in terms of additional doctors, nurses, reducing waiting lists, getting outpatient appointments quicker, etc. A whole plethora, to the point where the latest survey of the health service has said it was one of the most improved health services across the United Kingdom. So the kind of problems that Michael McGimsey had anticipated and predicted happening within 2 months of the budget being introduced 4 years ago have not happened.
He wanted more money. And you rubbished them for wanting it.
No, well, everybody wants more money. And the fact of the matter was that there were things that he could do to live within his budget. Edwin Poots has done that over the last 3 years. But unfortunately, some of the reforms have been slower than what they should have been. And that's partly because of public opposition. As I say, public opposition, which programmes like yours helps to give a platform to. Secondly, then there was the additional pressures because, of course, one of the ways we were going to release, and this was made clear to Michael McGimsey at the time, one of the ways in which we would release pressures was as we found money over the budget period, then that health would have a priority to do that and would also have greater flexibility within its own budget. Now, up until now, we've been able to do that. But this is a crucial thing. This year, the money which is available, the additional money which is available in monitoring rounds, moving between departments because money couldn't always be spent at the time when people had anticipated it would, that's not become available because of Sinn Féin's insistence and the SDLP, let's not let them off the hook on this, that we will not introduce welfare reform.
Okay, and meanwhile, Dathi Mackay, we have this farcical situation where the DUP are saying this has got everything to do with welfare reform, and your party's position is it's nothing to do with welfare reform. You know, it is absolutely farcical, isn't it, that you have that diametrically opposed position with each other, and meanwhile it's going to be ordinary people on the ground that are suffering. How is this nothing to do with welfare reform when we clearly see the amount of fines that are having to be paid that has been taken out of the system?
Well, Stephen, it is my considered view that in terms of the issues of health and welfare, both are inextricably linked because welfare and the implementation of what the Tories and Laws are proposing will have a great effect on the health of people with disabilities, working families, etc.
But Sinn Féin, your party is saying no money's being taken out of the system.
What we're saying is that in terms of the £87 million that the British government want to take from us, that we will oppose that, and the DUP will want to accommodate giving away a further £87 million in terms of the next monitoring rounds in October and February. So we
no, hey, maybe you would just
let him finish, Sammy. Hold on, let him finish. Let's let him finish.
Sammy, so we are going to oppose that £87 million fine. We are keeping a close eye on what is happening in Britain.
You can oppose it all you want. Can you stop it coming out?
There are many Labour politicians, let me say, who have indicated to us that they are astounded but many within the executive here in the north are prepared to sit back and accept a fine for something that the British government themselves are doing.
Really? Name them. Who?
Meeting, the likes of Diane Abbott, for example, is astounded that the executive are being fined in terms of welfare. So there are many out there who are looking at the executive and thinking the executive needs to have a united voice against these welfare
But while you're saying you're opposing the $87 million coming out, you would concede you cannot stop it. You can do nothing about it. It's being taken out, isn't it?
No, well, we will oppose it, and we will oppose it to the best of our ability, and we will encourage others throughout society, civic society, representatives of disability groups, and representatives of the working poor to ensure that it doesn't.
And I
think we have a better chance of doing that than other parties would get behind.
Well, Stephen, Davy, stop patronising the public and taking them for idiots. You know full well that you cannot oppose this money coming out. You know the mechanism. You've sat in the DFP committee. You know the mechanism. At the end of the year, the Treasury make an adjustment to our budget on the basis that if we have been overpaid, or if there is money which we shouldn't have got, or that there's got to be returned, then they take it out. They did that with the transfer of our passenger duty, and they'll do the same with welfare reform. So don't come off with this nonsense. We will oppose it. That's just patronising the listeners, thinking that they're idiots who can't understand and don't know how the system works, or that somehow or other you've got a magic wand that nobody else has. The second point I'll make to you is this, and you know full well, because your party has been engaged with the Labour Party as of mine. The Labour Party has made it quite clear that even if it won the election, the only changes it'll be making in welfare reform are the changes which we have already secured. So therefore, we would have the same situation after the next election if there's a change of government as we have at the present time, because the concessions that we have got have already been paid for, financed, etc. And if we continue down the path that we're continuing down, then the Treasury under a new Labour government will be doing exactly the same as what the Tories and the Liberals are doing at the moment.
Well, members of the public will be astounded at the fact that the British government, this is quite a simple case, the British government are planning to fine the executive this £87 million for the fact that we're not implementing a system that the British government themselves implement. So that is totally unjust. And I think members of the public will agree that, well, you know, it's an unfair case that in terms of the British government's universal credit system, in terms of the IT disaster that has taken place over there, and in terms of the fact that the Labour Party have indicated that they will refer universal credit and the IT system to the audit office before they do anything, is indicative of a situation.
Stephen,
can I just take up that point? It's unfortunate that this term fine has come into the vocabulary on this whole debate. This is not a fine. What happens is that when it comes to welfare payments, that's not part of the block grant which is handed every year to the Northern Ireland Executive. It's paid on a day-to-day basis according to demand. And what the government is doing is they're saying, in England and Wales and Scotland, we will pay out a certain amount of money to people who are unemployed or ill or whatever, on the basis of the rules which exist. The rules are different than Northern Ireland, so we have to pay out more in Northern Ireland. And since that is a decision which has been made by the executive, we simply take the difference away. It's not a fine. It's the difference between the system which we have in Northern Ireland, which we have voluntarily chosen, or Sinn Féin have stopped us doing anything about. More money is paid here, so the government recoups it. So it's not a fine. It is
okay.
a consequence of a decision which we have made, which means that more money comes in through the day-to-day payments which are made and is then recouped by the government.
Okay, that's fine. And we've spent the last 10, 15 minutes talking about welfare reform and the numbers around it, and that's fine. Dahi Mackay, I come back to the central point. As a result of what the health minister has said yesterday about serious consequences for the health of people in this country, as a result of what the chief medical officer is saying to the health minister, that he has got profound concerns as to the serious consequences for the wider health of all of us in this country. What is Martin McGuinness and you and your party going to do about it? You can rubbish what the DUP say all you want every day of the week. The chief medical officer is saying what I just quoted him as saying. What's Martin McGuinness going to do about it?
Well, our ministers on the executive and Martin McGuinness, Stephen, will continue to push for education and health.
What does that mean?
Ring fence, first of all, to ensure that they are prioritised in terms of departments. That's a position we've already outlined.
But what does that mean? Sorry, prioritised doesn't mean anything to someone that gets a letter to say, sorry, see that cancer service that was maybe going to save your life? It's not happening anymore. That's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm looking for a direct policy from Sinn Féin in response to what the most senior doctor in this country is going has just said. The quality of health and social care services. Well, he's got serious, profound concerns about the quality. Now think of that, the quality of health services in this country. What is Martin McGuinness going? This affects nationalists, unionists, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. Have you got a strategy? Do you question what the chief medical officer is saying?
Well, first of all, Stephen, we need to see the detail of what the health minister outlined yesterday. We need to see where the pressures are, and the executive needs to give full consideration to that. But the fact of the matter is that the health minister, in terms of his past performance, he needs to take the focus away.
No, the chief medical officer. No. The chief medical officer is the most senior doctor in this country. This is my point. So when he's leave puts out of it at the moment, when the chief medical officer is profoundly worried, surely to goodness that's got to go to the top of our government. What are you doing about it?
As I've already said, Stephen, we will continue to ring fence health and education, and in terms of upholding people's health and health rates across the north, to do that, we will protect both welfare and health because the two are linked.
So let me put this a different way. Has Martin McGuinness arranged an urgent meeting with the chief medical officer?
Well, Steve, it's not something I would know at this moment in time, but in terms
Have you arranged an urgent meeting with the chief medical officer?
Not at this moment.
Why not?
In time. But the fact, and I deal it day in daily, Stephen, I deal with issues pertaining. And I listen to Sammy outline how the health service is doing a great job. I have to listen to cases day and daily in terms of the Northern Trust that a lot of people would have difficulty listening to. So there are absolutely pressures within the health service. We need to see the case being outlined by the health minister for whatever budget reallocations he needs. And we will listen and we will allocate accordingly. Because over the past number of financial years, we have allocated monies to health over and above every other department. But I would imagine we will continue to do that because health and education need to be priorities.
From where? I mean, Daddy, look, this really is the dialogue of the deaf, and it is patronising. People know in their own households that they have a certain amount of money, like we have in Northern Ireland. If they decide to take money out of that, as we're going to do, £87 million, they've less money to spend. And if they've less money to spend, how do you prioritise health and education? You've less money. Who are you going to take it off? Are you going to take it off the housing executive? Are you going to take it off agriculture? Are you going to take it off job promotion? Are you going to take it off training young people who are unemployed to get job skills? Where's the money coming from? Because your party has already decided that a tight budget will be made tighter by giving £87 million back to Westminster.
When Sammy Wilson...
So don't talk about prioritising health and education. You have prioritised your own party manifesto by simply deciding our needs in Sinn Féin to keep our people down south happy so that they can say we're not a party of austerity are far more important than the health of people in Northern Ireland, the education of children in Northern Ireland, the building of houses in Northern Ireland, because rather than lose face, we'll give £87 million back to Westminster.
And when,
and
Sammy,
that's a scandal.
And when, that's a scandal. When, Sammy Wilson, is your party going to stop the blame game here and scoring political points against Sinn Féin and actually deal with what the CMO has said, the Chief Medical Officer? When are we going to see some leadership from your party and an idea beyond just battering Sinn Féin as to what the serious consequences are and what the serious policy is from the DUP if Sinn Féin maintain their stance? For example, are we at the point here where if our health in this country is compromised, that you might need to think of walking away from the executive? You might need to think of walking away from the assembly? Are we at that point?
Well, we're certainly not at that point. We're not going to do that. I think we have shown over the years, and even when there have been difficulties, we have taken a responsible attitude. We have got pilloried by it by some of our opponents, but we have wanted to make Northern Ireland work. And we have done it, as I've pointed out already, even with tight budgets, by introducing reforms. Edmund Poots has improved the performance of the health service over the last 3 years. But
so what are you going to do about what the Chief Medical Officer has said? Have you got a policy to deal with this if Sinn Féin stick to their guns? What are you going to do?
Well, the first thing, I mean, this is not... You can talk about battering Sinn Féin. I suppose it is battering Sinn Féin a bit, but that seems the only way we're going to get the message over. The first thing is we want to find ways of releasing the £87 million which we're unnecessarily giving back. And if that means continuing this debate about welfare reform and showing the inconsistencies in Sinn Féin's policy and welfare reform and spelling out the consequences of Sinn Féin's policy and welfare reform, then we'll continue to do that. You can call it battering all you want. I call it responsible political activity because we do have...
Have you got a plan B?
We do have a duty. We do have a duty to let the public know what the consequences of these actions
are. But I'm sorry, Sammy, but hold on a second, because this is really important. So try to give me an answer here without referring to Sinn Féin. If the consequences are as profoundly serious as the Chief Medical Officer has suggested, and you'll notice that I keep coming back to him so that there cannot be this squabble between you and Sinn Féin. So if the consequences are as profoundly serious as the most senior doctor in this country is suggesting, has the DUP got a strategy, a plan B, a contingency plan as to how we are going to effectively save lives in this country?
Well, Stephen, first of all, if there is the size of the pressure on the budget, which there is, the only answer is to either change how you spend money within the health service at present, and Edmund Poots has put forward certain reform ideas, which unfortunately, I mean, some of them will take time, some of them can be done quickly, but that is going to require acceptance within, first of all, the health service, and you can be sure that all of the vested interests will be opposed to that, or else within the executive. The second thing is, and the second way of doing this, is to say, OK, if health and if this is regarded as the most important issue, then do you once again go round other departments and say, we are going to have to take money from you to finance the shortfall which there is in these services? That's an executive decision. It's not something which we have total control of. And it will mean further pain for other departments. And as I said, I mean, there are other equally important priorities in getting jobs for people. But, you know, you're asking, is there a plan B? Any plan B is going to involve pain for some other department. And I guarantee that if we were to cut the budget for job promotion, you would be on maybe the next day saying there are an opportunity for 1,000 jobs you missed. If we cut the money to for example, for training, there are a lot of young people who are unemployed and now you're taking their future away from them. So, I mean, those are all the difficult decisions that have to be made. I think at the end of the day, Edmund Poots is going to have to live with some of these pressures, but I believe that they can be relieved by a simple decision of the executive to proceed with welfare reform.
Okay.